time. Because they only give me so much time, and I don't want to. I don't want this trap door to open. There's another minute, right? I got a minute. I'm waiting. I'm giving it my minute. Don't worry. I'm not starting early. Oh, I know it. There you go. We got it up there. Good morning. God is good all the time. Amen. I'm going to jump in here in just a moment, but we're going to open with prayer. Corey, why don't you pray for us this morning, would you? I think Pastor Corey, he's so right that so many times when people are reading Ephesians and they get to this part of Ephesians, they kind of fly right through it and you just take it all as one big whole. And yet we have to understand that this is part of the holiness journey. God gave us the armor of God, because as I said the first day, and I can't go over all this stuff again, but we're in it. Well, why don't you go ahead and go to that next slide. In June 1944, on June the 6th, was the largest military operation in history. To this day, it's the largest military operation in history. Before the war even started, they bombarded the shores with big guns, 16-inch guns, 8-inch howitzers. They were hitting the shore with everything they had to prepare it, because the Nazis were entrenched, and they sent 13,000 paratroopers in before they sent the ground forces, and they dropped in behind, and then they sent in the 156,000 men stormed the beaches of Normandy. Well, General Eisenhower, before the battle started, he was concerned about his troops and their morale, and so he sent a long letter to them, and the letter was real encouraging. But then when he got to the end of the letter, just like when Paul gets to the end of Ephesians, this is how Eisenhower closed his letter. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. And I believe that's, in a way, that's how Paul's talking here in Ephesians. As I've been dealing with pretty much in my series on the holiness journey this week, in my evening preaching, I've been primarily in the book of Ephesians, the entire book. If you look at Ephesians from chapter 1 through chapter 6, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about this journey in Christ, and he's talking about the holiness journey. He tells us in that scripture, we need to be holy. We need to live a life that's blameless. And you get into Ephesians 4, but then he comes to the end of Ephesians, and he ends with the armor of God. And let's read the scripture together, this last, as Paul is urgently, and you'll learn that when we talk about the Greek here. Paul is urgently telling the people of God. He says, and read it with me, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Let's stop there for a moment. This is important. That phrase, put on, it's enduo in the Greek. It is it's imperative mood, aorist tense, middle person. Now, what makes that important is he's not saying, it would be good for you to put on this armor. Why don't you put on the armor? This is in the imperative. It's imperative that you put on the armor. It's urgent that you put on the armor. You need to put it on. And if you go deeper into the Greek, it also means that it's a covering. It will cover you completely. You got to put it on. Listen, you cannot go into battle against the enemy, as we learned about the enemy the first day of this class. We have a formidable foe. He absolutely has his weapons. He knows exactly where to attack. He knows exactly where we're at. And let me say this, you cannot face this enemy without the whole armor, because he knows where we're vulnerable. And then he says in that same sentence, because take your stand against the devil's schemes. Remember, that's another important Greek word, methodio. And what it means is he has a strategy. He has a plan. You know, you read that in some English translations, like this one, you just see schemes. You don't realize it's talking about his strategy. His plans, what he's planning to do against you. And so he says you need to make sure you put on the whole armor of God. And then he explains, verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Go to the next slide. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Well, I need to look that word up in the Greek. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. This isn't just for you. As I'm going to be preaching tomorrow night. Am I preaching? Is tomorrow night what I'm preaching? I think so. Okay. I'll be preaching tomorrow night. As I'm going to be preaching tomorrow night, I'm going to be talking about the corporate walk that we have as part of the body of Christ. We need to be praying for one another. Okay. Let's go through the armor piece by piece. First of all, he says, the belt of truth. And I'm only going to say this about the belt of truth from our lessons. Satan's greatest weapon is deception and getting you out of focus and getting you starting to believe things that aren't true. And just like the world we live in today, what's wrong is right, what's right is wrong, things are upside down. This is a messy place. So the first piece of armor is the belt of truth. The foundation for everything we believe, for everything we do, is based in the truth. And remember, Jesus is the truth. His word is the truth. And then the important thing about the belt was all the other pieces of armor they attached to the belt. For example, the breastplate, go to the next one, the breastplate of righteousness. Without the belt, the breastplate would slide all over the place. There are loops in the belt where the breastplate attaches, and it also takes the weight of this heavy armor off of the soldier's shoulders. But the breastplate of righteousness, I mean, that's the very seed of holiness, because that protects, if you remember, the Roman soldiers, it protected their lungs, their heart, their vital organs. Well, that protects our vital organs in our spiritual walk, our heart especially. Because Satan, this enemy is a formidable foe. Brings us to the next piece of armor. I said this is one of my favorite pieces to talk about because I don't think you really understand. Take a look at that picture. I will be saying this again in a moment, but I want to say this right up front. This is one of the things that separated the Roman army from their enemies. This was an innovation that the other enemies did not have. These are special shoes when you're in battle. It's kind of like when my boys were wrestling in high school. I was talking to my son Bob on the phone today, and I was asking him about it. I want to make sure I was right about the shoes they wore. In high school, when my sons were wrestling, they could tell what level of wrestler you were by the kind of shoes you wore. If you were a top-tier wrestler, you wore Tigers. And if you were, if you did not wear Tigers, they didn't worry about you. And my son, he had a pair of Tiger Asics. And he said he was the only one in the state. He had to go out of state to get them. They were black with a silver stripe. Now, my son only lost one time as a senior in high school. Only once. And he was a formidable foe, I want to tell you that. He was a master at moves. Now he'd pin you if he wanted to, but he liked to wrestle you. But he had those shoes, and people would know him by his shoes. And then my son Jason, who also was an All-American wrestler in college, he wore the red Tiger Asics. He liked the red ones. And immediately that separated them from the crowd. When you would go to a tournament, as soon as they saw your shoes, those other wrestlers knew that you knew what you were doing, okay? Well, the Roman soldiers, well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Let me just say this. The shoes of the gospel of peace, they give the believer stability. Boy, is that important. Mobility. And readiness in a chaotic environment, in a chaotic world. The shoes of the gospel of peace in the book of Ephesians, it's the core idea of peace being the reconciling work of Christ that stabilizes and mobilizes the believer. Ephesians 1:2 says, "Grace and peace to you in our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians 2:14 says, Christ is our peace, making Jew and Gentile one. Christ is our peace. He makes Jew and Gentile one. And preaching peace to all. Ephesians 4:3 says, believers must maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This idea of peace in the life of the church, in the life of the believer, is all throughout the book of Ephesians. When you look at this thread running through Ephesians, this peace has the reconciling power of the gospel that gives believers a firm footing in their life. After truth stabilizes us and righteousness protects us, Paul turns to the feet. This is the foundation of movement, balance, and readiness. In spiritual warfare, believers have to stand firm, and you have to move through this battle without slipping. Satan would love to deceive you and me. Get our eyes off of Jesus. Forget about the peace that Jesus promised us. And next thing you know, he's got us where he wants us. We start listening to his lies, and before you know it, we're slipping, and our life is being affected. My relationship with God is being affected. My relationship with others is being affected. Let me tell you something. These These shoes of the gospel of peace, they're absolutely an imperative part of our armor. The Roman army shoes, that, like I said, they were a special innovation. They allowed the Roman soldiers to travel further and faster than their enemies. These shoes are called caligae in Latin. They had heavy hobnobs at the bottom to provide traction to the wearer, whatever kind of ground he found himself on. The Roman soldier was enabled to travel through any kind of terrain. They had, these were special. And they had these straps. Do you know one of the things that I learned when my sons were playing football and basketball? They had to have those shoes that kept the ankle strong. You notice here they have the straps up around their ankles to keep their ankles strong as they were in battle. They were designed for long marches and rough terrain. They gave the soldiers stability on uneven ground. And many times in this culture, when you were fighting an enemy that might not be as powerful as you, they would hide in marshes. And they would hide places where they thought perhaps you could not get to them. But these shoes allowed the Roman army to go right where they were. Kind of like the gates of hell not standing against us. Think about that. Whenever we go into battle, and Satan wants to hold us off and wants to keep us from spreading the good news, we have the shoes of the gospel of peace. We know why we have them on. First of all, they're our shoes with the gospel. They bring us peace in Christ, but they also give us that firm footing to be ready to go right through our enemy's gates. They provide mobility for battle. Endurance. They also kept the soldiers fresh. Protection from sharp objects, and that was important. A soldier, like I said about the other two pieces of armor, a soldier without the proper footwear was considered vulnerable. And they were considered not to be ready for battle. These knobs on the bottom of their shoes, they helped them navigate whatever terrain they faced. The soldiers would advance with minimal pain rendered to their feet. Now let's talk about the shoes of the gospel that we wear. Similarly, the peace of the gospel is what equips us to travel over rough roads. You ever had any rough roads in your life? You know, I'm glad when I face the rough roads of life, first of all, I have the belt of truth. I have that truth in my life that no matter what Satan throws at me, he's a liar. Like I told you, I've had people say, but Dr. So-and-so says this. Well, I don't care what Dr. So-and-so, what matters is what this says. This is the truth that will set you free. This is the truth that changes lives. This is who Jesus is. This entire book from the Old Testament to the New Testament is all about the Messiah. It's all about the Christ, every bit of it. And I'll tell you what, that belt of truth provides a certain foundation that whatever the enemy throws. Now, if I'm not in the Word, and later on, we're going to find out another key part. It's not part of the armor, but it's part of what brings the armor together is prayer. If I'm not praying and reading the Word, how in the world can I know God's plan of action for the battle of my life? And I need to know that. This equips us to travel over those rough roads. The belt, then you have the breastplate. And you know what it does? It protects your heart. It wards off the enemy's attack. And then you have the shoes. You're able to stand firm ground because your shoes, what they do is keep you grounded in the gospel. I say praise the Lord. The gospel gives you traction. Peace keeps you from slipping. And that's what we have in these shoes. The shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace can equip the believer where you can have confidence. I'll tell you what, when you're in battle against an enemy that's savage, you need to have confidence. Now, I got to say, when I was in Vietnam, I had confidence until that rat came up out of that slit trench and I saw him. I heard him growl. I was telling Tab at breakfast, I think it was yesterday. Now, I don't know if he really growled or not, but I'll tell you one thing. When I saw that big rat come out of that slit trench and he was foaming at the mouth, and I thought I heard him growl. And then when he attacked me and bit me, let me tell you something. I had confidence in the fact that I had D-Med to take care of me. And of course, you know, they gave me those 19 shots. It's good that I was part of the Marine Corps, and I knew, and I had confidence in the Marine Corps, and I had confidence in our power. Well, the shoes of the gospel, they equip the believer with stability and confidence, and especially readiness. Last night's sermon by Michelle. Isn't that what he was talking about? Here I am, send me. And he was talking about the fact that you got to be ready when God calls. Well, I'll tell you something. If you are walking the holy life, being who it is God has designed you to be, and you put on the whole armor of God, and you have on these shoes, you should be ready to go wherever God calls you to go or do whatever God calls you to do. This emphasizes that the gospel is not only a message we proclaim, it is a peace we stand on. And it's a peace that we carry to the world. I say, praise the Lord. I was thinking about the Old Testament, and I'll go through this part quick because I don't want us to miss this. The Old Testament imagery, especially in Isaiah, Isaiah says in 52:7, how beautiful are the feet of them who brings good news, who proclaims peace to the world. And then, of course, Nahum 1:15 says, look, on the mountains, the feet of one who brings good news and one who proclaims peace. In the Old Testament, that peace meant, and it was the word shalom, it meant wholeness. I'll talk about that in a little bit before I close. It brings harmony. It brings a wholeness to your life, the peace of God. It brings harmony to the body, the peace of Christ. It brings stability to your relationships, the peace of Christ. It keeps you in a right relationship with your Father through the power of the Son. Peace is not the absence of conflict. No, it's the presence of God. It's not the absence of conflict. The peace I'm talking about is not the absence of conflict. If you're in the ministry or you're living the life, you know there are times when you come into conflicts. I remember when I was pastoring at Greenville, we were having before I went there, there was a lot of conflict. And after I got there, Anita Bosworth, Wayne's mother, I want to make sure I clarify that. Some people think it's his wife. Wayne's mother, she was one of my assistant pastors, and I gave her a role as an assistant pastor to be our conflict management coordinator. And she put together a plan that whatever we faced, we would have the Word of God as our foundation, and she would work with me, and we would face every conflict. You can't sweep them under the rug, folks. Satan's not going to go away. You can't sweep this stuff under the rug. You've got to make sure that you have that peace. It's not the absence of conflict, but aren't you glad it's the presence of Christ in your life? Peace is the key idea. Jesus is not offering a feeling of escape or a moment of calm. He gives us his own peace. Do you know that when Jesus was, on the night he was betrayed, when he was talking to his apostles, And they didn't even know yet what they were going to face. They didn't know what was coming the next day. They didn't know the cross. He had told them over and over and over again. You know how many times in Luke he says, I'm going to Jerusalem and they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me and they're going to bury me. But I'll rise again in 3 days. You know how many times he told his apostles that? And yet when the time came, I don't know about you. No, I'm not going to get on them, but I'll tell you something. I'd have probably been pretty shook up too. To see the master crucified? To see the master beaten beyond recognition? To see my world turned upside down? But this is what Jesus told them. And the Greek really emphasizes it. Jesus said, the Greek word was eirene. And it's a peace that makes you whole. He said, my peace I give to you. Do you catch that? The peace that I have in my armor is not my peace. It's his peace. He says, my peace. Aren't you glad that the Savior, Jesus, said, I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to give you the peace that will make you whole, make you complete. The Greek word eirene actually means to join together into a whole, to bind together what is broken, to restore what is fractured. And Jesus said this, and to make something complete again. When Jesus says, my peace I give to you, he's saying, I'm giving you the wholeness that I myself possess. I'm giving you the unity that I share with my Father. I'm giving you the calm that comes from perfect trust. I'm giving you the stability that cannot be shaken by the world. I say praise God for the eirene of peace. It puts me back together. It keeps me complete. That's why he saves us from the inside out. He makes us a brand new person. And when he left, he told us he was going to send the blessed Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us and shape us and make us and take us through the journey. And also during that journey, he said, my peace I give to you, because that wasn't the end of it. He said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. And that's powerful. The distinction of eirene peace, it's peace that held Jesus steady in the storms. It's the peace that kept him calm before hostile men and crowds. It's the peace that anchored him during betrayal. It's the peace that sustained him in Gethsemane. It's the peace that carried him to the cross and through the cross. And he said that peace is now yours. And also what is important, he says, my peace I leave with you. And in the Greek, you would understand this is a permanent gift. This is not a passing gift. In Jewish culture, a departing leader or father would leave a blessing behind. Jesus was preparing his disciples for his departure, and he leaves his peace as a final gift. And in this context, it's a bequeath. It's an inheritance. I'm his child. I'm part of his family. And he's giving me his peace. And he's permanently leaving it with me. He entrusts me with his peace. It's something that will carry me through life. Something meant to remain. Jesus said, I'm placing my peace into your life as something permanent, something enduring, and it's accessible. You just have to have faith and believe in me. And I'll tell you what, those gospel shoes, I still have to get to the part where they're part of spreading the good news. His peace. Now listen, if you've ever encountered any of these, this is real life stuff. Anxiety. Now, I was a Wesleyan pastor for 54 years. I preached at camp meetings, revivals, filled in for pastors when they were sick, circulated around the district, going to churches representing the district. I've done all that, but let me tell you something. I've had my anxious moments. I think sometimes anxiety is part of the human condition, not the carnal condition. Some anxiety is actually good for you, so you don't do anything stupid, you know? Uncertainty. This is things we face, and God gives us, Jesus gave us his peace. Chaos, you ever had any chaos in your life? If you ever get around my family, all my brothers and sisters and my mom, 9 extroverts in one place, I could tell you it gets quite chaotic. My wife's family, who's as quiet as you can be, she says she just loves my family because they make life interesting. You know, they're all extroverts. I'm the introvert of the crowd. You know, when you face loss, we have loss in our lives. You ever had someone that you love go to heaven? You ever have someone that you love, you just weren't sure or not whether they went to heaven? Let me tell you something. That can be pretty anxious. Those can be anxious moments. Fear of the future. Fear of failure, fear of abandonment. These shoes, the gospel of peace, keep you on stable ground. These are both, this peace is both positional, and it's both positional, practical, and missional. First of all, it's positional. Do you know that when Christ became my Savior, Romans 5 says the first thing that happens to me is I have peace with God. You know how huge that is? Do you know how huge it is to have peace with God? Well, that's what this peace does. I have peace between myself and my Savior. Before that, my life was, I was lost. Man, you're talking about a guy who was a mess, lost in sin. You're looking at him. But when God forgave me, you know, you ask God to forgive you. You know, when you're going through that journey of holiness and you reach that place, prevenient grace has brought you to a place where you realize you're lost and you need to be saved, and you ask God to forgive you and you accept Christ by faith, and you know what happens? You're adopted into the family. You're just as if you had never sinned. You're a brand new creature, and we call that initial sanctification. That's the first step into the sanctification journey. That's positional. You have peace with God. It's also practical because he gives us peace in our daily life. It's missional because we can bring peace to a lost world. I say praise the Lord. I'm just going to skip through half of this. I was going to talk about the Wesleyan Arminian insight, holiness insight. Maybe I will. Peace is the fruit of justifying grace. Peace grows me through progressive sanctifying grace. Peace is part of the entire sanctification. Well, again, when you surrender to God, you're immediately cleansed. He takes away the carnality, fills you with his perfect love. I believe that completely. And then peace is maintained through obedience. Peace is expressed through works, mercy, and evangelism. Go to the next slide. Here's an application for us today. This is what God offers us through his peace. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you." You and I can stand firm in peace. Peace stabilizes your emotions. Well, you talk about something that's part of me now. My emotions can get, I'm an emotional person. It's part of who I am. Peace stabilizes my emotions, my thoughts, my reactions. I can walk in peace. My daily conduct can reflect Jesus. You know, I love when I talk to people and immediately they know I'm a Christian just by the way I'm talking. Kathy and I, for a long time, we made Waffle House our mission ground, both in Georgia and Indiana. When we were in Georgia, we saw the Waffle House manager get saved. Three of the workers started coming to our church, and the Waffle House let us use their grounds to do our Easter egg hunt. And so we would have our Easter egg hunt, not back on our 43 acres where you couldn't see what was going on, but right there at Waffle House on the corner, and people would know what was going on. And Waffle House, I'm telling you, Kathy and I, we had quite a ministry at Waffle House. Then in Indiana, we had the same thing. Now we have a ministry at McDonald's. And right now we've got a family, especially a family that really has it all. Money, retirement, but they just don't have it in here. You know, they're church people. They can talk it, but they don't have it here. I'm glad that I can daily conduct myself because of the peace of Jesus in my life. I can carry peace to a lost world, bring peace. In the workplaces, in our families, and in our communities. We can bring peace to those places. We need to be ready to share the message of reconciliation. I can resist anxiety. Let the peace of Christ guard your heart and mind. Once again, I'm going to close by talking about the peace with God and the peace of God. I want to make sure you don't forget this. Because one of the most important part about understanding, do I have a second list? And I probably didn't get that second page up there. Go ahead. Okay, here it is. God has fitted our feet with the gospel of peace. There are two ways this applies to your life. And I talked about it already, but I want to close by talking about this again. Because I really believe one of the key things Jesus did for us was to leave us his peace. And to give us his peace. When you talk about him, he gives us that peace with God. That's your standing before God. It describes your new position. I've already said this. It happens the moment you are justified by faith. The hostility caused by sin in your life is removed. Now, I don't mean the hostility's all gone in your life. I mean the hostility in here that caused you issues. It's gone. Because I believe the acts of sin, when you are saved, they're washed away. You're just as if you had never sinned. You are no longer God's enemy. You are now God's child. This peace, now listen, never fluctuates. You can totally trust God because this is based on the finished work of Jesus. This is based on the finished work of Jesus. When he hung on the cross and he carried your sins and my sins, and I mean he who knew no sin became sin, to the point that he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" That's not for anything he did. It's because suddenly, for the first time in his eternal existence, he had sin upon his perfect person. Your sins and my sins. And he finished the work. He hung there and said, "It is finished." And because of that, I know that his peace will never fluctuate in my life. Here's a key scripture. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. To our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. Peace with God is objective. It is a settled fact. It's all about reconciliation. Now there's the peace of God that you're experiencing in life. It is internal. It's ongoing. It is emotional. It's a spiritual experience. It explains the calm and confidence that you and I can have in our walk with God. It is the peace that guards your peace in mind. It is the peace Jesus promised to his disciples, all of us. It rises and falls depending on trust, obedience, prayer, and focus. We've got to trust Him, we've got to obey, and we've got to pray. And we got to keep our focus on Christ. You know, sometimes we don't have peace because we've taken our eyes off of Christ. He's never changed. He's the same. That's why I've got to have on the whole armor all the time when I'm in battle. It is the supernatural calm that remains even through the storms of life. I say praise the Lord. The key scripture here is Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I say praise the Lord. Now this is something I cannot understand. You know why? Because it's God. I don't understand it at all. But it's God. And when Christ is in my life, I have a peace that transcends all understanding. It will guard my heart and my mind. And for that I say, praise the Lord. I'll summarize with this. The peace of God is subjective. It's a lived experience. It is about inner rest and emotional stability. Let me put it all together. Peace with God is Christ's work for you. Peace of God is Christ's work in you. It matters to understand just how God works. So here we are, finally, in duo. Put on the whole plano, the whole armor of God. Because the enemy has his methodio. He has a strategy and a plan. Well, God has a strategy and a plan to overcome him through me in my life. You know, I say this all the time as a pastor, as an evangelist. I've got one life to live, folks, just one. I have one shot at this thing, just one. I have family members that I love, and I want to touch with Christ's love and see them reconciled. I have neighbors and friends, people at Waffle House, people at McDonald's. I want to see God do something through my life. Well, I have to make sure that I'm living in the peace of Christ. And I have on the whole armor. And remember this, as I've said each day, as we close, greater is He that is in you. Now, don't get all shook up because Satan has all these tools and strategies, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Put on the whole armor of God. I love the gospel shoes of peace because I'm here to tell you, I never thought about it until I studied for this. These shoes are special. God equips us in a special way to face the enemy and to live our lives in all terrain, no matter what we face. Father God, go with us from this place today. Bring us back tomorrow as we move in and look at another piece of the armor, the shield of faith. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with somebody you have not shaken hands with today.